Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, July 5th, and we're going to continue with our 4th of July celebrations. As many of you are now returning back to work, and you may not have been awake last night at 10:30 on WGNN or 11 p.m. on WGNJ, as Bill Pierce with Night Sounds featured a special broadcast titled Remembering, highlighting patriotic music and some thoughts from Paul Harvey. Remember that name? Finding out the rest of the story. Well, I'm going to share about 20 minutes of last night's broadcast on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, as you'll hear some great music, prayers, thoughts, and a bit of a historical overview of some of those special moments and people in our nation's history. Now, for those of you that have listened to Christian radio for a number of years, especially into the evening, the music behind my voice probably is already stirring some memories in your heart of this special program by Bill Pierce called Night Sounds. So don't fall asleep. Enjoy the next 20 or so minutes and be blessed by this broadcast. Here's Bill Pierce of Night Sounds.
They served and fought and died so that we might be free, safe and free. Grant them, O Lord, eternal peace, and give them the victory. And in these days of unrest, filled with grave uncertainty, let us not forget the price they paid to keep our country free. And so we offer up a prayer. May the people of all nations be united in thy care. And grant us understanding. Teach us how to live so that we may lose our selfish pride. And learn to love and give. And keep us ever mindful of the fighting men who sleep in Arlington and foreign lands, so that we may ever keep the light of freedom burning in their honor through the years. And hear their cry for peace on earth, resounding in our ears. Forgive us our transgressions, and, O God, be with us yet. Lest in our pride and arrogance we heedlessly forget. This is Night Sounds. Welcome. I'm Bill Pierce, and may I in song remind us all once again. This 4th of July observance, we continue to remember. Remembering. Presenting America's noted news columnist and commentator, Paul Harvey.
Americans, you remember the cherry tree story a long time after you forget the more earth-shaking, history-making episodes in the life of George Washington. You have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero, but the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. Maybe of this current decade, that which will be best remembered will not be its wars and its jet planes or its giants who lived and died. Maybe all that will survive to linger in the day-by-day vocabulary of generations yet unborn will be a song about a Tennessee frontiersman or the incident at the window that night a speck of dust blew in and penicillin was discovered. But for any 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do hereby bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you will always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you. It says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." You recognize those impressive words, but you don't understand them until you know the rest of the story. So here goes. In the Pennsylvania State House, what's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated. 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell our British fatherland no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. We were lighting the fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry, no demagoguery in this group. All of them had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July. So much is familiar history. Now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months, for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. Fifty-six men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. If they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge, and they did indeed pay the price. That is the rest of the story. Here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch, Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. With his wife, he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France. He was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. And Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate. He was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. He died bankrupt. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed. His wife imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated. His health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. He died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best, due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for. That gray, sweeping signature, attesting to his vanity, towers over the others. One of the wealthiest men in New England, he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war and said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." He too lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had had of the men who met that hot summer in Philadelphia, but I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. These were rich men, most of them, who enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, prosperous men, wealthy landowners, substantially secure in their prosperity. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price, and freedom was born.
case you're just tuning in wondering what's going on today's edition of Mark and Friends, I'm featuring a portion of last night's Night Sounds program, hosted by Bill Pierce, heard at 10:30 on WGNN and 11 p.m. on WGNJ, as I really appreciated the program, the music, the thoughts, and some of that historical overview remembering some of our patriots by Paul Harvey. And so in keeping with our 4th of July holiday weekend, I wanted to extend this program into today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Here's Bill Pierce again from Night Sounds.
And as we look at our great land, the United States of America tonight, we recognize the fact that it's not the same land as perhaps you knew as a child. Much has happened. Many factors, many influences have come in to try to dissipate the freedom, to take away the fact that in God we trust. Yet as God has smiled upon this land, we recognize that as we honor Him as a nation and individuals, He will bless. Tonight, even the duplicity of religions has almost made Christianity a second-rate religion. We are no more in the majority. O Lord our God, Thy mighty hand has made our country free. From all her broad and happy land, may praise arise to Thee. Fulfill the promise of her youth, her liberty defend. By law and order, love, truth, America befriend. O suffer not her feet to stray, but guide her on taught might, that she may walk in peaceful day and lead the world in light. Bring down the proud, lift up the poor, unequal ways amend, by justice nationwide ensure, America befriend. Through all the waiting land, proclaim Thy gospel of peace and goodwill. And may the music of Thy name in every heart truly thrill. Over hill and vale, from sea to sea, Thy holy reign extend. By faith, hope, and trust in Thee, America befriend.
Sure you haven't heard that song in a long time, along with the other selections during this special edition of Mark and Friends, as last night at 10:30 on WGNN or 11 p.m. on WGNJ, you can catch the program Night Sounds, hosted by Bill Pierce, And so for the last 23 minutes, I've been playing a portion of that broadcast just to bless you and keep you mindful that the freedoms that we enjoy and the independence is a result of our dependence on Almighty God, who has blessed this nation and desires to draw each and every one of us to Himself so that we may spend eternity with Him, freed from heartache, sickness, and pain, being thankful and worshipful, being at peace with Him throughout all eternity, because He's offered a means, a method, a way, as we accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize many of you are maybe heading to work, or if you're listening to the re-airing, you're heading home from work, and so I hope this extending of the 4th of July weekend blessed you in a variety of ways. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.